As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
What's up? What's up? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Is there a problem?
Let me know. Let me know if there's one.
No, you let me know, because I'm here.
So am I.
I'm here for eternity, big dog.
So
I'm
am
here.
I. How about this? How about this? On God, you won't touch me.
Oh, okay.
On God,
okay, first
on God
all,
you won't
first
touch
of all.
Me.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, November 16th, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tess Millis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, a Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! And last but not least, filling in for J.D., it's our guy, Eshua Kidd.
How y'all doing?
What's up, Esh?
What's
I gotta
up,
know, have you recovered from our, let's say, terrible performance at our 3-on-3 tournament from the last weekend?
I haven't gotten any sleep this week.
Really?
None at all.
Tossing and turning, thinking about those shots.
I was terrible.
No,
I let you guys down.
No, don't be so hard
bad.
On yourself.
It's the worst I've ever played.
Really?
So, ever?
Oh, 100%.
That's the worst you ever played? Like,
look, I've been playing 10 years with Kobe, right? And we got in a car going home, and he goes, I don't think I've ever seen you play that bad.
Jesus!
Yeah. And I was like, I know, bro. Yeah, I was. It was bad. It was terrible. It was
bad. Oh, wow. Okay. We'll get them next time. Oh, we got to find another 3-on-3 tournament. We got to get in. Redeem ourselves. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button and subscribe later in today's show. We will be doing a little Is This News. We've got some updates when it comes to Draymond Green and the number of games he got for his altercation there with Rudy Gobert, putting him in a chokehold / headlock. I like seeing which, what am I trying to say?
Which, term?
No, which...
word?
No. Companies, I guess? I can't think of the
brand?
Word. Brand? No, not really either.
Producer? Website?
Thank
creator?
You. Website works.
Okay.
Broadcaster, I think, was the word
okay,
I was looking
okay.
for. The whole point was some go with chokehold, some go with headlock.
Yeah.
I'm always fascinated by that. Yeah, both sort of true, but... it says a lot about you which one you go with, I think. All right, shut up, Skeets. Let's talk about the games last night. And we're going to jump around here. Let's start with Derek White and Tatum leading the shorthanded Celtics over the 76ers in a matchup of the East leader. Celtics missing Jaylen Brown and Porzingis. And it didn't matter in the end, Tass Mellis, because they get it done there in the fourth.
This team is deep.
Yeah.
It's great to see guys like Derek White and everybody on their starting lineup, their lowest usage rate in a while compared to last year. They just chill. But without Porzingis.
Yeah,
he didn't play. And no Jaylen Brown. Derek White was awesome, obviously, scoring the basketball. It looked like, and after the game, Joe Mazzulla wanted to call a timeout in the fourth quarter because things weren't going well. But then Derek White, a three and a floater, he was just on fire. This team is just so scary. But I want to give it all to Al Horford. Because he slowed down Joel Embiid in this one. And the Philly fans, where he used to play, were giving it to him a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
Trying to get in his ear. Why? Why do that to Al? He didn't do anything. I just want to see Al started for Porzingis. Five big blocks, a couple on Embiid. Just slowing down Embiid to just a regular 20-point night. He had 14 compared to Embiid. Four big threes. Philly fans taunting him. I just want to see him win a championship because I think a championship gets Al into the Hall of Fame.
Whoa.
I think it will.
Wow.
He doesn't have a lot of points in his career. He's only got 14K. That's not enough. Maybe not enough all-star appearances, but slide him in there if he's able to get that because he can help out, especially if Kristaps Porzingis does get injured, which everybody is worried about. That's all. Al was just great. I don't know how he stops Joel Embiid. I don't know how he's done it, but he's still doing it, getting close to 40.
Yeah, the Celtics, it's pretty impressive when you can be missing basically two all-stars. Jaylen Brown was an all-star last year. Porzingis has been, 20-point-per-game scorer, and they're still starting Tatum, White, Holiday, and Horford. Like, teams would be jealous to have that as their starting lineup every single night. Derek White was incredible in this game. 27 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, and he was just perfect in the fourth quarter, I thought. Scored 14, had 3 assists. He makes the right decision every single time he has the ball. Am I driving to the rim? Do I have the shot? I'll take it. Are they helping? I'm kicking it out. Had the one to Tatum there on the right wing that really iced the game. Joe Mazzulla's timeouts have been kind of a thing for the beginning of this season. Obviously, all of last season. But when you trust your players, sometimes it works out.
Yeah, White was special. Al Horford was great. I mean, Melton on the Sixers side was keeping him in it. He had a bunch of threes. They were hanging around. You said it got to like a one-point game there.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're right. Derek White sort of took over and kept them, sort of stiff-armed them there and got the victory. Fun matchup here. You know, we might see these two teams come playoff time in a second round, in a conference final. Sort of hope we do. I hope everybody's healthy. I will say last night when you look at the schedule and some of the results, there were some schedule losses in terms of like back-to-back situations. We didn't even think Embiid was maybe going to play in this game. Mm-hmm. Back-to-back, maybe they rest him. He goes. In the end, Al Horford has his way with him, so maybe they should have given him the night off. But really, really impressive win. And you said it before. Somebody slipped it in on a show earlier. Jason Tatum, I swear to God, is getting stronger looking and stronger looking. He's like getting bigger and bigger. Guy is huge. He hit big timely shots too. Let's not forget about him. He's obviously in the MVP race, but Boston to get that done, missing, two of their main guys, and you just get to slip in an Al Horford, slip in a Hauser, and go from there. Big, big win to take over number one spot in the East, and I guess tied for the number one record in the league.
Tatum has become so steady that he puts up 29-8-6, and he's the third guy we mentioned, despite leading the team in scoring and obviously being their best player. But getting role performances or star role performances from Derek White and then Horford just easily slotting into the starting lineup, that's super impressive. And then, like you mentioned, Skeets, third game in Fortnite as well for the 76ers. The last two were against the Pacers, so really high possessions. They're also missing Kelly Oubre and Nick Batum, so they were a little bit at an athleticism disadvantage. 17-10 on the fast break points for the Celtics. Philly's bench was just kind of lacking last night. They just didn't have it, and it looked like they were playing a tough schedule so far.
Yeah, and they got outdone by the Celtics bench, especially in that first quarter when you had former Raptors, Delano Banton and Svi Mihulic.
Yeah.
He was great. And Banton with that great steal, even though he missed some shots like he always does. They came through, and even Luke Kornet came through to give them that big lead. And Tatum just, even though he didn't start that well, he just stuck to being Tatum and finished the game.
Moving on here, Paolo Banchero hits a turnaround jumper with 1 second left, a little one and change, as the Magic beat the Bulls 96-94. The Magic held the Chicago Bulls to 33 points in the lowest scoring first half in the NBA this season. Orlando led by 19. Chicago got back in the game. Zach LaVine hit some big shots late. But in the end, Orlando had a big enough lead and get it done through Banchero. TK, what'd you think about your Bulls coming up a little short?
Disgusting game of basketball. Yeah. The first half in particular, the Bulls, like you said, scored 33. They had 13 turnovers. Casey Johnson was on the broadcast. He said, "I covered the Bulls after the dynasty. This is one of the worst halves of basketball I've ever seen." And that was teams that were winning like 19 games. But the Magic, on their side of things, in the first half, shot 35%. So they did get out to a big lead, but it was ugly on both sides. Like you mentioned, the Bulls somehow had a chance to steal this one. Zach LaVine made a couple of big threes under 30 seconds. The Magic missed a couple of free throws. Banchero had one. Anthony Black had one as well. He was really beating himself up on the sidelines after that. Came down to the final shot. Alex Caruso guarding Paolo Banchero. Banchero just backs him in. A little foot movement, as Caruso called it. He said, "Let's check the two-minute report. It's going to come back as a travel, absolutely. But that's the kind of missed travel I'm totally okay with. I didn't feel like Banchero was out of rhythm. I didn't feel like he went very far with his little hop step or his foot kind of coming unplanted in the post. That was just a great shot. He was facing the other way when he rose to shoot it. It hits. It bounced on the rim for literally a second and a half. The Bulls could have had another second and a half if that was a swish, but it didn't end up mattering because Patrick Williams just dribbled out the clock.
That guy's clueless.
He is, man. He is.
Clueless.
People were saying Patrick Williams should have been on Banchero on that last possession because he's got more size than Caruso. And even Banchero is like, I thought Williams would be guarding me. Once I saw it was Caruso, I just backed him down and shot over him. I'm taking Caruso over Williams in that matchup every single time, at least until he's gone.
Thoughts on this one?
Yeah, he did think that Pat Williams would be guarding him, but Patrick Williams guarded him a couple minutes earlier and Banchero scored on him. So the Bulls decided, oh, our defensive champ right here, Caruso, even though he's far shorter, just to get him physical. But he just decided, as you said, I'm going to look at the other hoop, raise, score. And he was able to do that. He's had two winners in 2 weeks now. He had that other winner against the Utah Jazz where he went left on John Collins and was able to just throw it up with his left hand off the glass and in, which was beautiful. He's starting to put them together. And this game was ugly. Both teams shooting like 39%. Because the weird thing going on with our league pass that we all use, sometimes our ESPNs are blocked off. Sometimes our local broadcasts are blocked off. Like the Hawks game was blocked off. The Knicks, Celtics. I was watching this game instead of those because I didn't want to go elsewhere. I was watching this game, but it was horrendous. I was complaining as much as Zach LaVine was complaining in the first half. He was complaining about getting hit but not getting calls. I came down to the last minute. And the Magic came through, even though it wasn't pretty for them. Banchero missed a free throw in the last 30 seconds. Anthony Black missed a free throw in the last 30 seconds. They gave up a 15-point lead that they had at halftime, 19 in the third quarter. And they both stunk, and Zach LaVine came through to tie up the game with huge threes down the stretch. Will this guy be traded? I can't wait. And his anger throughout the game, it was ugly. But the Magic are just doing a good job. They're doing enough to make Coach Jamal happy. They get it done. And Banchero, it's adding up, man. Two really, really, really big game winners.
You think he's the leader for Clutch Player of the Year right now?
Wow, I hadn't even thought about that.
I forgot that was a thing.
I don't think so, despite the game winners. But
it helps.
Yeah, it does.
Helps at the end of the year.
And I was going to say before we move on, I saw you tweeting
don't,
at least some love.
You're going to say it to me, man.
No. What do you think I'm going
to
say?
You're going to talk to me about Goga Bitadze.
Well, you love him.
I absolutely love Goga Bitadze. Nobody can keep him off the glass.
He had a huge rebound late in this game, like the one where he was falling. Yeah,
he did. Six offensive rebounds last night for Big Goga. I had the best plus minus on the Magic. He was out working Vooch inside. There was also another one where Vucevic had the rebound. Like, he dribbled it, but then I think it was Black came in and poked it from, or maybe Suggs actually came and poked it from behind. They made a couple of more hustle plays in the fourth quarter. Orlando did.
All right, moving on here. Tass struggled to watch it because it was blocked here in Atlanta. But Julius Randle, another great game. Jalen Brunson coming through in the clutch. Helped lead the Knicks to the 116-114 victory over the Hawks. This was, I believe it got the designation of a wild ending on the NBA YouTube page.
Okay.
And it was, again, you know, Brunson especially hit some big shots. He had a big corner three and then a big jumper. But thoughts on this one, TK? We'll start with you.
Yeah, Brunson was a clutch killer. I was trying to get in Jason Concepcion's head last night. I texted him a picture of Bogdan Bogdanovic laying his finger aside of his nose from that classic matchup with the Knicks. And instantly, Jalen Brunson hit a three-pointer and Network hit me back with the three fingers to the face. Yeah, Brunson was great in this one. 10 points in the fourth quarter, 3 assists, no turnovers. He hit a three to put the Knicks up 1 with 4 minutes left. He hit a three to put the Knicks up 1 with 2 minutes left. He had an assist to Josh Hart. He had an assist to Randle to put the Knicks up 2 with 43 seconds left. Then he had a jumper after Trae Young missed a free throw, put the Knicks up 3, 19 seconds left. He just put the game away. And the steadiness he brings is such a great contrast to Julius Randle, who's actually getting it going right now.
Oh, yeah.
Brutal start. Last 5 games, 25 points per game, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 44, 35, and 80 are his percentages. That'll work, especially considering Brunson can come in at the end of the fourth quarter and actually take the team home. Good stuff from New York.
I only tuned into this game when I saw all the Hawks fans were upset, and it was mainly in the fourth quarter when they had the lead. But Jalen Brunson took over. He was just solid, and he kept smelling his hand as he's known to do. But also a scheduling problem here for the Atlanta Hawks. Having come off a back-to-back, traveling from Detroit, coming home, and now losing to the Knicks twice this year, and that's mainly why fans were upset. But the Knicks just go after the offensive boards against the Hawks. That's their problem against this Knicks front line. They just had 14 offensive rebounds, 21-4 on second chance points. The Knicks took 19 more shots. That's a lot more shots.
Yeah,
a lot more
shots.
But they're able to do that, and they're able to hit from three again and just rely on Jalen Brunson at the end to pull through. But I don't like the scheduling. I don't like back-to-backs. The Knicks were waiting there. They're sitting here in Atlanta, just chilling, waiting for the Hawks. The Hawks had to fly last night coming from Detroit. They were a little more tired. Trae Young, a new baby, congratulations. Didn't have a great shooting night. You know, he was assisting everybody.
Off, yeah. 17 assists, but 4 of 12 from the floor. Didn't hit a 3. That's sort of weird to see.
And DeJounte Murray, same thing. Not a great offensive night shooting the basketball. But they did have the lead. But when you give up that many offensive boards, how are you supposed to win? The Knicks are really, really good at it. You still have to have big guys in the NBA, even though everybody wants to go small. Everybody wants to start Paul George at the four like the Clippers are doing. It's more fun to see ball handlers, but you're not going to win when it comes to playoffs. Look at Jokic. Look at the Nuggets. You need big dudes.
Both teams, the Knicks and the Hawks, at 6-5. I can't wait for these two teams to play in a playoff series. I feel like that's going to happen either 4-5 or 3-6 type matchup.
Two wins in Atlanta, though, for New York.
Yeah.
So I would say they have the advantage.
Well, it's not really when they play here in Atlanta, it's 50-50. Basically New York. I was regretting it watching this game. It was working for me somehow. I don't know why. That I was like, oh, damn, yeah. I should have went down to the Fortress tonight. Because I do like those games where Knicks, Celtics, Lakers, if you get a close game here in Atlanta, it's a fun atmosphere because it is like a 50-50 crowd. It's like whatever happens, you get a bunch of people going nuts for the road team or obviously the Hawks. And I was like, oh, man, this is a close game, back and forth affair, big plays, and would have been a good one to take in person. All right, moving on. The Kings overcome LeBron's triple-double. Yeah, LeBron had a triple-double. The second oldest guy to ever do so. Karl Malone had one when he was 40. Karl Malone only had 4 triple-doubles in his life, but he had one when he was 40 with the Lakers. Anyway, the Kings hold on in the fourth quarter for the 125-110 win over the Lakers. They have their number. TK, thoughts on this?
Yeah, I guess the Lakers came back in this one. Got to, a 10-point game, I think, in the fourth quarter, but it's just tough to win when you turn the ball over 23 times. That was the big number that stuck out to me from LA's side here. LeBron was definitely great. He took over in the fourth quarter. But between 23 turnovers and not much from Anthony Davis, only 9 points on 9 shots, the math just isn't going to work for you. They made 11 threes. The Kings made 16. They looked faster all night to me. The ball was really moving. Herter has been great. He was incredible again last night. De'Aaron Fox coming back obviously makes this team a lot better, but it moves everybody into their perfect roles. Sabonis has been really good. He was fine, I thought, when Fox was out, but as like the 1.5 creator kind of, when Fox is back, he's doing much better, and Herter is slotting in perfectly right now. Yeah. So nice win for the Kings. Love the uniforms as well.
Yeah, those are cool.
Yeah, and I like how the Lakers stuck with their starters to try and get back into it. I think it just got into a single-digit deficit there at the end. They were trying. But they couldn't come up with it, even though LeBron was great, his first triple-double in his 21st season. Karl Malone, he didn't play 21 years. Yeah, he was 40. But I think LeBron's going to play older. He's going to be older than that. LeBron's having, birthday 39 soon. How old is he going to be when he retires? Because I saw Mike Brown say this after the game. He said, I don't know if you can put a timetable on when he's going to be done. I think there's only one person that can, and that's him. Well, maybe two, because his wife might be able to do something about that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, we all rely on our wives if we're married, for sure. I get what you're saying, Mike Brown. But anyways, he looked great. It's weird with this Lakers team, because Pelinka said preseason, I should say, we may have the deepest team. But they don't at times. They need Vanderbilt back. They need that depth back. And they've now thrown Austin Reeves into the Manu Ginobili role as the guy who's coming off the bench. And he had a good game. He almost had a triple-double himself off the bench. But despite them having a home-heavy schedule now, they may be looking at Zach LaVine. It's great that we talked about the 76ers. We talked about the Magic. We talked about the Knicks. And now we talk about the Lakers. All four teams, they could be going to get Zach Why the heck not? But yeah, the Kings were awesome. Just right out the gate.
Yeah.
Herter said it. I mean, we were playing fast. We're out in transition. We were rocking.
Sabonis is averaging 24, 12, and 10, basically, over his last four games, shooting 67%. So he, like Randall, has it going there for the Kings. Yeah, Fox back with Herter, both 28 points. Herter added 7 assists, 0 turnovers. You love to see that. Ziller pointed out in his GMIB newsletter this morning, the Kings have 120 offensive rating in Fox's 5 games and a 4-1 record. That would have them top 3 in the league offensively. In the 5 games he missed, 2-3 record, okay. Offensive rating would be 104, which would be league worst. You see the difference that De'Aaron Fox makes for that offense, especially. And I just want to give a little bit more love. I'm going to keep doing it to Keegan Murray on the defensive end. Early in this game, he was matched up on D'Angelo Russell for a lot of it. They had him on him. And yeah, Russell has the speed on a guy like Murray, but still, his length and his strength to recover, I thought was pretty impressive. Even saw time on LeBron as it went on. Again, I think for the Kings to go to a next step, he has to become more of a two-way player, and he's starting to show that. But good win here in the Kings. And again, they 5 of 6 they've taken against the Lakers? I want to say. I know it's, I believe it's 3 in a row. So they're rolling here with Fox back in that lineup. A guy that came back last night, Devin Booker, scored 31 in his return from injury. Suns roll past the Wolves, 133-115. Possibly another schedule loss here for the Timberwolves, but... And look, we got excited. We thought this might be the first game for the big three in Phoenix. You know, Booker back, KD, of course, there. Oh, Beal was looking like he was going to play, but he was a late scratch. But in the end, I do think the schedule makers had something to do with this sort of blowout here.
We got to do something about these back-to-backs. they're coming off a huge disappointment with what happened the night prior with the Warriors. I mean, it was just... A lot of energy. It was just a lot of energy. Not a disappointment. They got it done. But Kevin Durant was just excited to see Devin Booker back. He was just so happy to see him back and how great Devin Booker was. He wasn't slacking at all after missing 5 games with a calf injury. You'd think maybe he's a little bit gassed, but he looked great. He looked like playoff Booker, and I thought as well that we would be seeing Beal out there, but... A back problem for him. I underestimated, I guess. Whoa.
There goes the lights.
There it goes, right there.
Spirit of JD still is here.
I thought this light would be there forever. I thought Bradley Beal would be healthy forever. it has not happened. They literally haven't played a game together. And there was a lot of talk about the last couple of years and how Beal hasn't been completely healthy the entire season. So it's a strange thing. It's just a strange thing for me. But Book and Durant... Our special combo for themselves, beating a team that's on a back to back. We got to get rid of these back to backs.
The Evans. Does anybody call them the Evans?
Who?
Devin and Kevin.
No. The Evans.
Booker. 31-5-4.
He needs a contract. He said I was too much of a role player. Let me cook.
And Durant 31 as well. 6 boards, 6 assists. They didn't turn the ball over against the number one defense in the league. Took care of the rock until a little bit later in the game. I think they had 4 for like a majority of the game, and then sort of in the fourth it got a little sloppier. But pretty dominant victory here.
31 assists as well for Phoenix. Kevin Durant also said. It's nice to have our point guard back, which is true. You know, Devin Booker is their point guard. He can miss 2 weeks at a time and just come back and look like he hasn't missed any sort of time. That was incredible. They both finished with 31? That's crazy. This team took 2 games off the Nuggets last year, basically with like Booker and KD cooking, so no surprise. Also, a huge dunk from Drew Eubanks in this one, getting Karl Anthony Towns. Nobody on the Timberwolves really had it going outside of Towns. He was pretty good. You know, he's got a nice matchup, I think, against Phoenix because he's got the size advantage on Durant, and they can just kind of shoot over anybody else. Would definitely have a quickness advantage over a guy like Nurkic or maybe even Eubanks. But I'm kind of with Tass. This one felt like a little bit of a schedule loss based on how many games they've been playing, but also like the emotional letdown coming off of your rivals, the Warriors, and how everything went down with Draymond to now have to play this game. Certainly played to Phoenix's advantage.
Other games last night, Tim Hardaway Jr. hit 7 threes. Big win for the Mavericks over the Zards. Damian Lillard scored 37 as the Bucks crushed the Raptors, 128-112. No Giannis in this game. No OG, which really hurts the Raptors. They got hammered. And the Cavs ended a road trip with the 109-95 win over Portland. Any takeaways from those 3 games that were just slipping in here?
Don't want to talk about the Raps. That was a crusher. first quarter, even.
Yeah.
I mean, the game was absolutely over. Same with the Mavs taking care of the Wizards. That was also a crusher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually didn't believe that the Mavericks-Wizards game took place. I saw the highlights this morning. I was like, what? That really happened. I didn't watch it.
No.
I didn't even check the highlights, if I'm being quite honest.
Well, I'm very invested in every Wizards game now with our weird bet we got going on. I got to see how they did. But
yeah, 2-9 versus 3-7
yeah.
Right now. I saw Eric Kareem proposing a Zach LaVine trade to the Raptors. I heard the same from Kevin Pelton and Zach Lowe. We talked about, what, 15 teams maybe yesterday that could trade for Zach LaVine? Toronto never came up.
No, they didn't.
You guys interested?
Not really.
Yeah.
Finally melding our two teams together.
Yeah, that's what we should do. We should just put the Bulls and Raps together. We'd have a great squad then.
Play in Dynasty.
That's right.
Yeah, he had some of his best moments in Toronto. During the dunk contest. We'll just do it again.
You like the idea, though, of exploring a Zach LaVine trade if you're the Raptors?
Yeah, I'm bought into this team being 41-41 every year, and I think Zach can get him to that.
Yeah. definitely reshuffling the deck chairs, it feels like, a little bit. But I did see that, and I've seen that in a couple other articles, too. Yeah, the Raps. I mean, the Raps are always included
exactly,
in sort of anything that comes up because they sort of have pieces to move. All right, that's all the games from last night. We got to fix this light. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, is this news leading off with the Draymond Green suspension? Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/nodunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/nodunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
All right, we're here in the Classic Factory. We have seemed to have fixed the light. Just did the old jangling of the cords. Take it out, put it back in, hit the box a little bit. Basically the equivalent of taking the NES cartridge out and blowing on it, hitting it on your knee, putting it back in. For whatever reason, it works. So we'll see.
Fingers crossed. Unplug it and plug it back in. Works for everything.
Almost, yeah. Just, it's a real quick reboot. Let's get into Is This News? All right. Our first headline from The Athletic. A great website. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Draymond Green suspended 5 games for involvement in fight with the Timberwolves. I will note that Klay Thompson, McDaniels, and Rudy Gobert each fined $25,000 for their roles in the incident. Draymond Green, though, 5 games tasks for the chokehold slash head hold slash head slash I don't know whatever it is. What do you think?
I think this is great news, actually. I like how the NBA is being harsh about this. They want to send out some memos about a few things. We have an in-season tournament because we're trying to sell our games. We're trying to make some money. Hey, also, you can't have stars sit out games. We also have a memo about that. Also, you can't choke guys. Because Draymond Green has gotten away with a lot of things over his career. And I have been a sucker, and I have given him a lot of leash, talking about him stomping on Sabonis, etc. But I think they're trying to say, As even Rudy Gobert did. Like, listen, Klay Thompson had Rudy Gobert on him But he wasn't even mad about it. He didn't even look at Rudy Gobert for a friggin' second because Rudy was just trying to hold him. He was just trying to break up. He was just trying to protect this guy, and he didn't choke Klay Thompson like Draymond Green did. So chokes are not allowed. And I don't want to hear about it on a Draymond Green podcast. I don't think it should be said.
You know what? His side of the story? His side of the forearm?
That was a bicep. He had his bicep under the Adam's apple. Poor Rudy.
People were joking when it went down that Draymond, when he gets on his podcast, will be saying that Rudy's chin was holding his arm.
Oh, my God.
He was trying to release it. He was trying to let go of his arm. But Rudy was holding it and pinning it with his strong French chin. Five games. We were debating, what's this guy get? 2, 3, maybe up to 5. 5 in the end. TK, what do you think?
I did see that Rudy Gobert was basically like breaking down the play-by-play of the choke. He's like, yeah, you know, he's trying to choke me, but not strong enough, so ineffective choke. Very funny. This actually seems pretty much right to me. 5 games, one of the longer suspensions for fighting in the NBA that doesn't involve throwing punches or going into the crowd or anything that's kind of next level, I would say.
Yeah.
When you compare it to like other players who have been suspended, it's on the longer side for a skirmish like this. So, you know, 5 games. I see our poll here that we got going. 51% think it's too short of a suspension. I'm with the 43% that thinks it's just right, however.
Yeah, this is, surprisingly, I guess, because it's Draymond Green. Longest suspension of Green's career.
Mm-hmm.
First time being penalized multiple games, which obviously then makes it the most expensive penalty. According to Spotrac, Green has been ejected from 19 games, and at the end of this 5-game suspension, will have been suspended for 9 total. Feels like way more.
Yeah.
Maybe because you start thinking the ejections, and you sort of like start leaking into suspensions, but it's only 9 games suspended after these 5. Career total for fines, $2.2 million. That's what Draymond's cost himself. Hopefully he's making it back in podcast ad revenue. if he is, he's doing better than us. But
does he do good ad reads?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
He should definitely have an Athletic Greens sponsorship.
Oh, what a tie-in.
Draymond's Athletic Greens.
Well, he needs a better help some sponsorship.
This one was like what? He's $750,000 he's losing out on or something like that?
Ballpark. So who steps up here in Draymond's absence? Because you look at their schedule, they play OKC twice. They play the Rockets, who are obviously one of the scrappier teams in the league. They play the Suns. Will they have the big three? They play the Spurs. It's not easy. Who's got to step up here? Who gets the start? Does Sarge go in there? What do you think?
Yeah, the big question is, how does Jonathan Kuminga adapt to this? Because he was great in the preseason. Mm. But it's going to be Kojemski. It's going to be the man who's just going to be great off the bench, who has been great off the bench. But he won't get the start by any means. I think they're good. The Sarge will be the guy who starts, and then they'll see how Jonathan Kuminga plays.
Mm-hmm.
But they get smaller now. This 5 games does hurt this team.
Especially without Steph.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And deservedly so. So they're going to be a tiny team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I guess that's considering who they're playing. Like, they're not playing big teams. OKC plays a very skinny center. Chet Holmgren as their one big. They play them twice. Houston, Şengün is going to be a tough matchup for them. But I think, like, Looney can probably handle Şengün well enough. Phoenix, that's a small team. And then the Spurs have Wembanyama, but Spurs been getting blown out a lot the past couple of weeks here. So I think they can survive this stretch with Draymond missing. I assume it'll be Saric who starts, but it's time for Kuminga to look as good as he did in the preseason. And it's time for Wiggins to start playing basketball.
Yeah,
that's the big thing here. If he is able to step forward and give them something on either end of the ball, literally either end of the ball, play defense and rebound or try and score, it would be very helpful for Golden State.
Oh, so do you think if that happens, either Wiggins starts to find his game or Kuminga, you know, gets out of this shooting funky, shooting 30% over the last 4 games, do you think Draymond will try and take credit for being suspended, you know, obviously leaving the team and getting those guys going? Like, he's playing chess, he's going to sell us on, right?
Yeah, if you're a podcaster and something that you have any sort of connection to actually comes through, you got to talk about
he's
it.
He's got to take credit.
Is he doing TNT hits? Because he could.
I don't know.
he's
got time.
I figured I wasn't around. I thought you guys maybe seen a Draymond Green on TNT because he would be there for a game where somebody else plays.
Yeah.
And he'd say, oh, yeah, exactly. This is awesome. It's so good to sit out.
Is that legal? I wonder. I guess it probably would be. Like, he's suspended from the team, but could he go and sit with the inside the NBA guys? I don't know. I guess so.
I mean, they do a lot. I would
say they do it in the playoffs, like when their teams are eliminated.
Yeah, I don't know.
My guess is that if you're suspended, they don't want you on a league broadcast, would be my guess.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. But Shaq would love to chat with them about what happened with Rudy Gobert.
Oh, yeah, they would.
All right, 5 games for Draymond Green. Most people seem to, I guess most people actually think that he should have got more, so he's getting off a little easy. Next headline here from ESPN, Daniel Tice to join the Clippers after a Pacers buyout. This one felt like it came out of nowhere, if I'm being honest, but we were just talking about the Clippers. TK, you're saying, man, they need some size here. Well, they're going to get it a little bit, some front court help. What do you think?
For an emergency scrap heap find, fair. I mean, Daniel Tice has played literally 8 games in the calendar year 2023. That's it.
Wow.
He's not much of an NBA player right now, but he showed some signs of life in the FIBA tournament. Ain't that right?
Yeah,
won a gold medal. That being said, Tice is still small. He's 6'8", is what he's listed at. At best, he's an average rebounder. I don't even know if you would say he gets there. So it's kind of weird because I think that the Clippers thus far with Harden there have looked their best when they're playing a smaller lineup. But on the other hand, they've given up double-digit offensive rebounds in 4 of their last 5 games. I don't necessarily know that Tice is going to help out at all, but they needed somebody to at least have an option.
Yeah, they absolutely needed size. He is only 6'8", but I think they're going to play him a ton. And it is weird because we did watch him play for Germany, and he was agile. He was able to guard guys on the perimeter. He was able to put it on the floor, and he looked good. But I don't know if he can do it for an entire season. But the Pacers just have really good centers playing with Miles Turner. And then Jalen Smith has been looking really great as their backup, and Isaiah Jackson even behind that. So Daniel Tice hasn't seen the floor whatsoever. But he looked great for Germany. So when I saw this, I was excited. I thought, man, this Clippers team just needs somebody. We've been talking about it. They need somebody to play. And this guy will help out. And the Clippers said we can just buy out and play our other centers and no problem. Nobody had been talking about it on our show, so I loved it. But I did see a comment here. Daniel Tice to the Clippers, which was 18 hours ago. So I think it was before the signing was made. That's what I saw anyways, from our man Mark. So people know Daniel Tice can play. I think he needs to. They need somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, their backup centers are literally either Terrence Mann, he's not a center, or Paul George. And they just need size at all times.
Tice had $7.8 million left on his $9.1 million contract with the Pacers. He's signing a prorated veteran minimum of like 2.1 here with the Clips. Good point about the Pacers center rotation. Yeah, they definitely didn't need him. You can see why he wasn't playing because they have 3 pretty good guys there. Though I don't know what the update is on Smith, who injured himself. He had a head injury on Tuesday, I think. Taken to the hospital for evaluation. He sort of collided with Paul Reed. Hopefully he's okay, though. But yeah, we'll see if Tice has anything left. He's got a little bit of FIBA inside of him there that he can at least help out the Clippers who need it, with Plumlee out with the MCL in his right knee, and he's out for a while. Next headline, the Associated Press. Ben Simmons to miss at least a week due to pinched nerve in back. Is this news, Tass?
It's related to last year. It sure feels like.
Well, they said it's not.
It's not.
They specifically the other side. Said it's not.
That's what Coach said.
Yeah.
Well, Coach said, I'm not sure. Because it could be. I mean, it's the other side of his back.
Yes, yes.
But the fact is, he's been out for a long time with a back problem. So, unfortunately, it sure feels like, despite it being a decent start for him to the season, where he's been inserted into the starting role, and no, he's not scoring like he used to, he's not driving like he used to, he's not dunking like he used to prior to his Sixers scenario where he didn't dunk, if we all remember that. But he didn't work out, obviously, with Philadelphia. He went to Brooklyn, and this was the best Ben Simmons month since he got to Brooklyn. I know he's not taken over, but this was good. So this is news in that he's got back problems, and everybody thought, well, maybe they're just sitting him out. Maybe they're just sitting him out.
Well, they were saying it was like a bruised left hip why he had been missing these games.
It's a weird play that he gets hurt on.
Yeah.
He like shoots a floater off. He must shoot off his left leg, and like as soon as he lands, he's like limping back on down the court. They called it a hip injury right away, to the point where they asked Cam Thomas about it. He's like, it's a back injury? News to me.
Yeah.
But as we're seeing with Bradley Beal, backs can flare up time and time again. But you're right, Tess. Ben Simmons has done a pretty good job this season of just being a dude. 6 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. He's playing 30 minutes. I mean, that's a great season so far for Ben Simmons.
He does help them when he plays because they play faster. He's obviously incredible at pushing the ball up the floor, finding shooters. Like, the numbers back it up. When he plays in the games that he has, they average like 118 points, a lot on the fast break, really good three-point shooting. It's not him doing that. It's not him really finishing much in transition or hitting the threes, but it is him setting a lot of that up. And so when he has sat, you do see the Nets get bogged down, I think, a lot more. And it's even worse with no Cam Thomas right now, who has a left, you know, foot injury. He was in a walking boot. So they're down a couple guys here. The Nets, I guess my point is, the Nets actually need Ben Simmons healthy and playing to, challenge for a lower playoff seeding or a play-in spot. I think he's sort of that important still to them, but it sucks, this guy in his back. I mean, he obviously had surgery on herniated discs back in 2022, mm-hmm. and then, you know, obviously this thing flares up all the time. But yeah, it's sort of funny that Jacques Vaughn was saying, it's not the back injury that cost him the 24 games last year. And I think his agent is saying that. You always wonder if they're just like trying to like, everybody relax. He just tweaked the other side. But we have to be conservative with him and our approach to bring him back because of the back issue.
Yeah, and even if it wasn't the same actual injury, he's had nerve problems in his back before. So this could be a thing. And the Bradley Beal Association is good as well because, it may just be happening with both of these guys. So it's even though Bradley Beal came back for a game, they sat him down because of it. But this feels longer because it is a nerve impingement.
Final headline from TSN. Oh, up in Canada. NBA in talks with group to establish expansion team in Montreal. So Adam Silver, he broached the subject in a televised interview during Monday night's game between the Celtics and the Knicks, the one where Brian Scalabrine was trying to impress Silver with his NBA breakdowns. So Silver indicated that he was not ruling out the possibility of setting up a new franchise in Canada, either Montreal or Vancouver, or of course Mexico City. So they were talking about expansion and, you know, Montreal, fans in Montreal, NBA fans, they hear this and they run with it, and that's why we get these headlines. Trey, is this news?
I don't know. Is it? That's not a team yet.
I don't
feel like they're next up on the list. It feels like they're in the second tier alongside Mexico City and Vancouver, perhaps. I did like Silver's quote. When we first went there to Canada, it was a hockey market. Kids like basketball now. They obviously still like hockey, but there will be other opportunities eventually. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we both watched it. We watched that interview with Gorman and Scalabrine.
That's right.
And we both watched it, and they talked about it. But we didn't come into this office and think anything about it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, Montreal, they hear this, and then, Adam Silver said Montreal in the same sentence of expansion. You're going to get excited.
Yeah, what's this?
He's thinking of us.
He just knows. He just he's knows what's up. Mike Gorman asked him a question. Hey, are we going to go up to Canada to get a little expansion? What do you think? And he goes, people like basketball up there. There was a preseason game there.
Yeah. Bell Center. And successful. And, I mean, there's homegrown talent we're seeing now in Dort and Mathurin and Boucher, if we're throwing in there, and Omax now with the Mavericks. Like, Montreal is one of the most populous cities in North America. I'm not sure how many people know that. So it's a big, big city. It's like obviously could have an NBA team.
It could.
But I'm with you, Trey. Like, this is good news for people in Montreal, but like this is news, like, honestly, like this is 10, 15 years probably down the line.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like we're going to be handing out, you know, franchises left and right here. And there's just like, they're just on the list, but probably lower down than your Seattle's and maybe your Las Vegas and maybe even Vancouver again. Like, who knows? Mexico City. But that's okay. Like, landing an NBA franchise is like trying to win Defensive Player of the Year. You just got to be talked about for a while. Yeah. You ain't going to win it right away. But you got to be in the conversation, and then eventually we'll get to you. But
what was also part of this good report from TSN is that there has been an ownership group trying to make a bid for several years.
Yeah, 6 years, apparently.
I didn't realize that. But that also shows that a team ain't going to Montreal anytime soon. It all just depends on how great the NBA is doing. Because to expand to Seattle first, it could be Vegas. Everybody's expanding to Vegas. That would be 32 teams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many teams do you want? You want a 34-team league to go up to Montreal and potentially Vancouver? Which
35 if you include Mexico City?
Mexico City. Sure.
I want 82 teams, and then we only play one game.
Scarcity.
That's right.
I would tune in. Every game's the in-season tournament.
That's a good point. Yeah,
love the addition of Vancouver. They screwed Vancouver. Vancouver got screwed. There's no doubt when they got yanked from there. So that was the first city I think Adam Silver mentioned. When he started talking about
Canada. That was the one Stern always said was a huge regret, for sure.
Yes, he regretted it.
So you feel like that will be on the list. Of course, Seattle deserve a team back there in that location. Now, the problem with them is like they're right there, whether or not that very has close, any impact. Yeah. They're very close. And then, yeah, Mexico City, it feels like we'll one day get one. But it's a good question about how many teams.
Yeah.
Though I guess, you know, we just think expansion or new teams, like, hey, buy a team, $2, $3 billion, whatever, if not more. But teams could leave markets as well. I won't open that can of worms right now, but maybe that's the idea here too, right?
Yeah. Shuffling. But it also, it all depends on how this in-season tournament does. There could be some more money coming in. There's just the factor of the negotiation that starts in March for not just the in-season tournament, just in general, all these potential Amazons, Apples, throwing some dollars at the NBA.
Yeah.
So if things are going better, then they take a chance potentially on more teams.
As Raptors fans, would you be excited that there's another team in Canada competing for the affections of Canadians?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I think that part would be really fun to have, like, a, you know, a Canadian rivalry, especially Toronto and Montreal.
Yeah.
I mean, people that live in those cities hate each other.
Yeah.
So that would be fun. Because, I mean, it was a little different when it was Vancouver, Toronto, as just new teams that were both pretty crappy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even they had the Naismith Cup and all that, and they tried to sell us that. Like, the Naismith Cup, when you think about it, was really the in-season tournament before the in-season tournament. But no, to answer your question, absolutely. And I do think Montreal, I think Vancouver, I think it's obvious that both those markets could have an NBA team and support it well, personally.
We. The rest of the Canadians are apparently Toronto Raptors fans because there's only one team.
Canada's team.
Yeah, but they're all far. Like, they can't go to games. Like, all the fans are very far from Toronto.
That's a good jump point. On
that's a
train.
Train that's going to take, like, 5 days.
Montreal to Toronto, what'd that take? Five hours?
5 hours.
Yeah. Wait.
Trey said we, so we can do our French accents all day.
I did see that Montreal is further north than Toronto.
It's the North.
OUI the North? Oh, that's pretty good, actually.
That is good. All right. So, look, they're on the list. Silver's thinking about you, Montreal. Or at least your name is being included in the possibility of expansion. All right. Let's take a final break. And when we come back, we have a very weird story involving Mark Jackson, the New York Knicks, and a plane. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it. Tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
All right, do me a favor. Do us a favor. Our guy Ash, killing it right now, filling in for JD for the next couple of shows. Hit the like button. Do it for Ash. Subscribe. Tell a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Podcast listeners, leave us a 5-star rating and review. I think our bosses see those now.
Yeah, they show up in a Slack channel.
If you're on Apple Podcasts and you haven't left us a 5-star rating and review, do it now. This will be great timing for your boys here. But we really appreciate it. Okay, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
So Tweet of the Night, it's a weird one. I honestly thought this was like an Onion article at first, but it's from Andrew Marchant of The Post. And the tweet yesterday was news. Knicks put kibosh on Mark Jackson joining MSG Network by banning him from team plane. What?
Okay, okay.
So I clicked through and I read this thing. You know, a lot of people, including myself, had some fun with what happened to the plane I love. There was a lot of mama, there goes that plane. But I do like this one. Anyway, what a weird story. Just some details from it. I guess Mark Jackson, they were thinking about having him join the MSG network to call some games to sort of fill in for Clyde Frazier. But the Knicks eventually objected to him being on the team's charter jet. And they said no, because there's an old quarrel between Mark Jackson and a current Knicks assistant coach. What is it? Darren Erman? Erman, excuse me.
Erman, yeah.
Yeah, Darren Erman. Remember that name? If you remember that name, you're a real sicko. He used to be with the Golden State Warriors, and there was the taping scandal, yes, between
that was the Leo meme when I clicked through, because I was like, who's this assistant? Like, what happened here? And then when it turned out to be Darren Erman, what? It felt like in the new Mission Impossible, they bring back a guy from the very first Mission Impossible for basically no reason. That was what this was, just a strange cameo from a previous scandal in the NBA, but... The Knicks used to put once a Knick, always a Knick on their jerseys. Mm. Guess not.
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, it's almost like they thought, okay, we'll have Mark Jackson fill in for Clyde. And then, you know, they're getting ready to do it. Yeah, I guess he'll obviously come on the team plane, charter plane, whatever. And then somebody was like, oh, hold on. You know we have Erman here. They got some history. Like, ooh, that might be awkward. That might be an awkward flight. So they're like, oh, yeah, forget it. And then, of course, this leaks, and, you know, Leon Rose, he never talks to the media anyway, but he's not letting Mark Jackson on that plane. Get out of here.
Yeah, it was all very confusing. Banned him from the plane. I mean, he hasn't been on the plane, so how is he banned?
You're not coming on.
Just give him a private jet. But this is exciting, because now I want to read this New York Post article, because I remember that whole thing. But I haven't read about it. I didn't remember Darren Erman's name until the recap of that whole scenario. Now I'm back. This is exciting New York Post material. I got
to
be honest.
There are gems in this article. Mark Jackson could have chosen to fly commercial, stay in a different hotel, find a way to the arena. Yeah, too much work. Too much work. So he didn't want to do that. I also had read at one point, like, he was going to do it for free? Like, he was going to be, like, calling these games basically for free because he's still getting paid by ESPN. So there's that part, which is still, like, a little silly to me, too. You would have been paired up with Breen, of course, again, who obviously called games with ABC. But nope. They say, get out of here, Mark Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want you on this plane.
I don't blame him. I wouldn't have gone either. If they banned me from the plane, I'm not paying my own dime and flying out after you just kicked me off the plane. No way. What if they had Harrison Ford tell him? Get off my plane!
There's a lot of, like, plane flexing in the NBA right now. We recently had James Harden show up to the Sixers flight when he was with Philly.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you're not on the manifest.
I figured they'd be more loosey-goosey with all these private chartered jets, you know? Like, just show up, hop a ride.
Somebody tweeted at me that has worked for a team and said, like, this is absolutely ridiculous. The idea, like, that Jackson would have to be around Darren Erman.
Right.
Like, you wouldn't have to see him if he didn't want to. So, like, really, this is just, like, I mean, it's a power play here, I guess, from Rose and Erman and the Knicks. Like, they could have made this happen without them having any interaction whatsoever. Like, many times these broadcasters have very minimal interaction if they want or don't want with the players and staff, which is probably true.
He wanted a private plane. If I was Mark Jackson, I'd love to drive around the U.S.
Yeah, John Madden style?
Yeah, I mean, most of the games would be at home, but I see a quote here saying, more than a week ago, I turned the job down due to the fact that it wasn't the ideal conditions, and it wasn't the ideal time for me. He just wanted to pick his seat on that flight, pick his snacks, I guess, but he declined.
Wait, he's saying he declined?
Yes.
Mark Jackson is spinning this around now and saying, no, I declined.
Now, is this Jackson is maybe that part is the ESPN part.
Okay. It's a weird story we told you, man. It's a weird tweet of the night, I'll be honest. I really ended this show and I don't know. I just drove it into the ground.
I thought it was good.
You thought it was good?
I thought it was good. I thought this was an interesting tweet.
Okay, great. I like that I started this podcast without being able to find a word, and we ended it with a weird tweet. Let's call it there. for this show. If you're a Survivor fan, you got to join us later at 1 p.m. Eastern. No buffs. Own YouTube feed, own podcast feed. Trey Kirby is calling this the greatest episode of Survivor in the new era, last night's episode.
Indeed.
So he is going to tell us why at 1 p.m. Eastern.
I'll tell you why right
live.
Now.
Okay.
It was sick. Right. Every moment was a classic.
Every moment was a classic. We had a return of a classic Survivor, what would you call that? Segment, I guess. Or
yeah.
The auction came back.
Segment, yeah.
I don't know. Like, sure. Yeah, it's not really, it's not really a game. Yeah. I guess it sort of is. The Survivor auction, what'd you think of that? Was that your first time maybe ever seeing the Survivor auction?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because you haven't watched. I mean, it hadn't been around since season 30. Yeah.
Is
it
a decade?
What did you think?
Super fun.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I like some contestants taking chances.
Yep.
Some not.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, the one that got screwed because of it, yeah, it was very interesting.
What would have been the number one food item that you would have wanted to bid on?
Oh, yeah. Definitely not the beer and pretzels, as we've seen.
Okay.
It's better.
I like the French fries. I got very excited.
French fries
about
was
French
good,
fries.
And honestly, when she revealed the charcuterie
ooh,
board,
that's good.
I was like, that looks like a lot
nice
of
glass
food.
Glass of wine.
Nice.
Too.
Yeah,
she
yeah.
said salami is my favorite. I love salami. Salami, cheese. Yeah. Was that Emily?
Yeah.
Yeah. She had a great. And she put her face in the sand. She
yeah.
was so excited.
She had dropped to the ground. I love it. You're right.
Good point.
She almost got a lot of sand on that charcuterie board. Yeah, I kept thinking somebody's going
to
drop one of these.
Fumble
like
back.
They're going back with these like margaritas well. And wine glasses and beers, but nobody did. So good stuff. All right. Anyway, we're talking about the Survivor auction and a great episode of Survivor at 1 p.m. Eastern over on No Buffs. We're back here tomorrow. Formal Friday. Everybody get your suits on. That includes you, Esh. We are dressing to impress for tomorrow's Drop podcast. We'll see you then. Till then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, this New York Post article's got me thinking. Darren Erman just earned himself a head coaching spot for the first time in his NBA career. Just because of how hard he is, how tough he is about his fight. I think he's going to get a head coaching job. He once coached the Maine Red Claws.
Oh, yeah.
So it's warmed him up. Way to go, Darren.
Brace the day, people.